All right, Chabosai, good evening. Let's begin. First of all, a tremendous Hashikach to Rabsi, to Tzvi Lonor, for sponsoring the sushi tonight. An incredible, beautiful. Thank you, Rabsi. Thank you very much. Thank you. Seven Seas at 7 Mile. Best sushi in town. Any other product placement before we get started? Nothing else? I'm sorry? BZ Cosmetics is open tonight. Is Nelson Precast doing anything tomorrow? Closed. Okay. Good. So let's begin. So we'll say, so today's daf is Tes Zayin. We have a lot to do tonight, actually. But it's beautiful. Gemara to flow quickly. So we're picking up today's Tes Zayin 16. We are picking up Tes Vav Amud Beis 15b. And we're picking up at the two dots Ein Donin. It's a 2, 4, 6, 8. 10 lines up from the bottom. 10 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, Abose, the Gemara spoke about the idea that in Donin as a Shevet, you cannot judge a tribe. And we're going to see a whole list. And of Sheker, Kohen Gadol, except with a basin of 71. So the Gemara says the fine. So also we're going to go through this entire list. So in Donin, Hai Shevet, Tuchat B'mai. When we say that you can only judge a Shevet with a basin of 71, what exactly did the Shevet do? So says the Gemara, Ilemo Shevet Shechal Asa Shabbos. If you want to say that an entire Shevet was Mechal Shabbos, the only time, if an entire Shevet was Mechal Shabbos, so they're not treated any differently than what? That if individuals were Mechal Shabbos. The only time we see a difference between how the individual and how a tribe is, or how a collective is treated, is by Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara says, Ella b'Shevet Shehudach. Rather, we must be talking about an entire Shevet, which worshipped Avodah Zorah. Lememra. So is that to say that if an entire Shevet worships Avodah Zorah, we're dan them like the Rabbin? Now, what does this mean? Ari, thank you so much. Thank you. It's perfect. Thank you. So says the Gemara. Is that to say that ultimately, again, we give them the din of the Rabbin? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Lememra. The Shevet Shalim Shehudach B'dinah D'Rabim D'Anin Alein K'dinah D'Ir Anidachos. So is that to say that if an entire Shevet goes in and worships Avodah Zorah, we effectively treat them like an Ir Anidachos. We treat them like a condemned city. Ir Anidachos is a city whose inhabitants have worshipped Avodah Zorah. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. The Mikri Berubin Danin Alei Ubesayif Ubesanhedrin Gedola. We'll say an Ir Anidachos is done number one with the full Sanhedrin, 71. And number two, the punishment is Saif, death by sword. So you're telling me now that if a Shevet worships Avodah Zorah, that is as if you have a situation of an Ir Anidachos. It's judged by a 71-member Sanhedrin, and ultimately the death is Saif. So the Gemara says, Kimanis, whose opinion does that reflect? Lo Rabbi Yoshia, lo Rabbi Yonasan. It's not like Rabbi Yoshia, it's not like Rabbi Yonasan. The Sanya, Ad Kama Osin Ir Anidachos. How many people do you need ultimately again in a city in order for it to become an Ir Anidachos? Miyud Ad Kof. From 10 and 100. In other words, if you have the number of residents between 10 and 100, that could become an Ir Anidachos. Any more than 10, any less than 100, can become an Ir Anidachos. We're going to discuss this in greater depth. Div Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Mikuf Va'ad Rubo Shel Shevet. Rabbi Yonasan says, from 100 until the majority of a particular Shevet. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see that this idea that an entire Shevet is essentially judged like an Ir Anidachos doesn't seem to follow either of these two opinions. Even Rabbi Yonasan says that it's only the majority of a tribe that can be judged like an Ir Anidachos. But an entire tribe cannot be judged like an Ir Anidachos. So we're still trying to just figure out, very simply, when the Mishnah says that a tribe is judged by the Sanhedrin of 71, what are they judged for? What was the transgression that was committed here? So having said this, Amrav Mas Nahocha, Benasi Tap of Tezayim, Benasi Shevet Shechata Askina. And also we're dealing with over here, where the Nasi of the Shevet, the head of the Shevet, committed an Avera. Rashi says over here, Uba'achas Mikol Misal's Beis. Whatever the Avera is, it's the type of Avera for which one would be Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara says, what the Gemara is suggesting now is that if the Nasi of the Shevet commits an Avera punishable by death, he is judged by a Sanhedrin of 71. So the Gemara says, Milo Amar of Adabar Ava, called Davar HaGodol Yavio Elecha. So in the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, that after Moshe Rabbeinu sets up the court system. So it says, any great matter, right? Any big matter will be brought to you, Moshe. So what does that mean? Dvarav shel gadol. What that refers to, the Gemara Darshan's over here, to mean Dvarav shel gadol. That if the gadol, i.e. the nasi, the head of the shevet, goes ahead and does something wrong, so lemaisa, that's brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we'll say, what does it matter if it's Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu represents for our purposes what? Sanhedrin HaGadol. Moshe Rabbeinu Kiviyachol is like the Sanhedrin HaGadol. He is like the 71 person based in. So the Gemara suggests, Hai Nami, Gadol, Ula Amr, excuse me, the Gemara says, Ula Amr Abelazar, Beboin Al Iske Nachlos. So the Gemara says, no, what's the case? What does it mean when we say that we adjudicate the case of a Shevet with a basin of 71? What's the case? We'll say, ultimately, again, where a Shevet is coming regarding matters of territory in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, let's say you have some type of machlokes or some type of issue that comes up with land division in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that any issue or any discussion about land division in Eretz Yisrael requires a basin of 71. So the Gemara says, Matchilas of Shevim Ve'echad, just like the original Chalukah took place with a basin of 71, so the Gemara says, Afkan Shevim Ve'echad, so too over here, whenever there's some type of issue regarding territories in Eretz Yisrael, it always requires a basin of 71. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, imat trilaso kalfi uri v'tumim. So if that's the case, then why don't you say the same way that the original division of land took place with lots, kalfi are lots, a lottery, uri v'tumim, the uri v'tumim were consulted, v'chol yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael was present, afkan kalfi v'uri v'tumim v'chol yisrael. So maybe I'd say again, so too over here. Any time that land division issues come up, perhaps we should always be obligated to resolve it with all of Klal Yisrael present, the Urim V'Tumim, and a lottery. Rather, says the Gemara, Ela Mechaber, excuse me, Mechaberto Kidrav Masna. Rather, it seems to be clear that we're going to go with the approach, as we said before, Rav Masna. Ravina says, no, the Olam B'Shevet Shehudach. Ravina goes back to our original position, Rabbi Osei, which is that when we say that a Shevet that needs to be judged is ultimately judged with a basin of 71, this refers to a Shevet that has committed Avodah Zarah. I v'tikakashi l'cha b'dina d'rabim d'ayninon lei. And that's what you said before, but 1 second. Does that mean that a full Shevet is treated like an Ir Anidachos, that it has to be judged by 71 member Beisdin, and that there's a punishment of Saif, to which the Gemara says, in, that is true. Afagav d'katlinon b'yachid. Even though at the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, Rashi says over here, d'katlina b'yachid, d'dina shel shevet d'skila, afilu hachi b'dina d'rabim d'aynin olay. Even though Rabbi Osei, it turns out that when a shevet worships Avodah Zarah, the punishment is not Saif, like in Ir Anidachos, but the punishment is skila. Nevertheless, we will go ahead and use a basin of 71 to go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, shake it up. We're mixing drinks over there. So therefore, we still need a basin ultimately of 71. So the Gemara says, Afagav dekatlina biyachid bedina derabin daninolei. We still use a 71 member basin to adjudicate the case. Milo amar Rabchan Rayosi amar Rabosia votzei sa esa ishahu o esa ishahahi. So both say the pasuk says that you will take out that man or that woman, speaking about the individual who was worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Ish v'isha atamotzi l'sha'arecha v'atamotzi kol ha'ir kula l'sha'arecha. So we'll say, it's only individuals who could be judged at the gates. Then when we say judged at the gates, so we'll say, what does that refer to? That refers to some other judicial body other than the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So it could mean a 23 member basin, but pashas for capital cases, you can't use less than 23. So ish and isha can be judged b'sha'arecha, but a shevet can't be judged b'sha'arecha. Hachanami isha isha tamotzi l'sha'arecha, v'atamotzi kol shevet kulo l'sha'arecha. So we'll say, bottom line, the way the Gemara understands is that when the Mishnah says that a shevet is judged by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, what this is talking about is a very specific case where if you have an entire shevet which worshipped Avodah Zarah, an entire shevet that worshipped Avodah Zarah, they are judged with a 71 member bezdin. Now the novelty in that, Rabbi Osei, is you would say, of course, it's just like an Ir Anidachos, like a condemned city because they worship the Avodah Zarah. No, because Ir Anidachos is killed with Saif, with the sword. And again, we're going to get into all of this. And versus the Shevet, which is only killed with Skila. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lo no es Navi Asheker. Furthermore, again, if you're going to judge a false prophet must also be judged with a basin of 70 orim. And where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Asya Hazada, Hazada Nizakin Mamre. We make a Gzirashava of Yazid. Gemara calls it Hazada. But it's Yazid. It says Yazid by Zakin Mamre. And it says Yazid by Navi Sheker. So we'll say Zakin Mamre, remember, is the sage who refuses to accept the majority opinion of the Beis Din. Mal Halan B'Shevim Ve'echad, Afkan B'Shevim Ve'echad. Just like the Zakin Mamre is only put to death if he rebels against the Psak Halacha of the Sanhedrin HaGodol, the 71 member of Beis Din, so to the Navi Sheker is also only put to death by the 71 member of Beis Din. He says, one second. Va'azod k'ksiv b'ktalahu d'ksiva uktala b'esrin utlasu. But one second, when the Torah uses the Lashon of Yazid by the Zakin Mamre, that Lashon is used in the execution of the Zakin Mamre. The Rabbos say, we know that the Zakin Mamre is executed by a Beis Din of 23. Here's the interesting thing with the Zakin Mamre. In order to become a Zakin Mamre, in case this is on your bucket list, but in order to become a Zakin... Tough crowd tonight. Okay, good. In order to go ahead and become a Zakin Mamre, you mamish have to rebel against the majority decision of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the 71 member Beis Din. If you defy the edict or the ruling of another Beis Din, that does not make you into a Zakin Mamre. Yet, interestingly enough, once the individual becomes a Zakin Mamre, he is only executed by he's executed by a Beis Din of 23. So the rebellion has to take place against a Beis Din of 71, but the execution is done by the Beis Din of 23. To which the Gemara says, you're making Gzereshava of Yazid Yazid. When it says Yazid by Zakin Mamre, that's talking about the execution of a Zakin Mamre, and that's done by who, Rabosai? By who? Beis Din of 23. So the Gzeir Shavah doesn't teach you that a Navi Sheker is executed by a Beis Din of 71. To which the Gemara says, Ella Amar Reish Lakish, Gamar Davar Davar Mehamra Aso. So rather, Reish Lakish says, you're right to make a different Gzeir Shavah of Davar Davar. It says Davar Davar by the rebellion of the Zakin Mamre, which is against the Beis Din of 71. And it says Davar ultimately again by the execution of the Navi Sheker, which teaches us that it's done by a Beis Din of 21. I Ulahadir Zakin Mamre Viligmar Hazada Hazada Minavi Sheker. So if that's the case, why not go back and reverse the Gzeir Shavah and learn out Zakin Mamre from Navi Sheker? Do the Gzeir Shavah Azada Azada, and use it to teach me what? That a Zakin Mamre is executed by who? A Beis Din of 71. To which the Gemara says, no, Davar Davar Gamir, Hazada Hazada Lo Gamir. The drasha we have is for Davar Davar. The drasha we do not have a drasha on the other hand for Hazada Hazada. Good. We'll say second wide line. Below is Kohen Gadol. Furthermore, again, if the Kohen Gadol commits some type of transgression punishable by death, he also is judged by the 71 member Beis Din. So it says the Gemara. V'lo asa kohen gadol. Min hanimili. Bosei, where do we know this from? Amar avadavar ava, da amar kra, kol hadavar hagadol yaviu eilecha. So we'll listen to this. By Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember, this is when they're setting up the court systems and the advice of Yisro. So after they set up the entire judicial system, so Korach, Yisro says to Moshe, anything that's complicated, kol hadavar hagadol yaviu eilecha. Anything that is a great matter, they'll bring to you. So the Gemara dashes, what does that mean? Dvarav shel gadol. Amazing. I will say, what does Dvar gadol mean? Not a great matter, but rather matters concerning the gadol. Which gadol, I will say? The Kohen Gadol. So you see from here that a Kohen Gadol, whenever he is judged, by definition is judged, again, these are talking about capital cases, is judged by a Beis Din of 71 the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, Areis HaKasha, Rabot say, fourth wide line, Dvar gadol, Dvar kasha, Ata Omer. Davar Gadol, Davar Kasha. Maybe Davar Gadol just means something complicated. Ata Omer Davar Kasha, Eno Ela Dvarav Shel Gadol. So maybe you'll say, no, it doesn't mean Davar Kasha. Maybe you'll say it means Dvarav Shel Gadol, matters concerning the Great One, i.e. the Kohen Gadol. Kishu Omer Es Hadavar HaKasha Yavion El Moshe. The Pasuk says, Hadavar HaKasha, the Pasuk speaks about difficult matters, says those will be brought to Moshe. Hare Davar Kasha Amar. That's talking about something complicated. So the Gemara says, Ki Haitano. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Amoshe Hare Davar Kasha Amar. Hu Da Amar Ki Haitano. Seals like the following Tano. Disanyo, Davar Gadol, Dvarav Shel Gadol. So when the Pasuk says Davar Gadol, it means the matters concerning the Great One, i.e. the Kohen Gadol. Ata Omer Dvarav Shel Gadol, O Eino Ela Davar HaKasha. Maybe, how do you know it means Dvar Shel Gadol? Maybe it means simply complicated matters. Kishu Omer Davar HaKasha, Hare Davar HaKasha Amar. What's that? Where the Pasuk explicitly says Davar HaKasha. The Pasuk explicitly says that if there's something complicated, it will be brought to you, Moshe. Ha Ma'ani Mekayim, Davar Gadol. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says Davar Gadol? Dvarav Shel Gadol. It ultimately means, again, matters concerning the Great One, i.e. the Kohen Gadol. V'hai Tana, Trei Kroi Lamali. So why does this Tana, if that's the case, require two different psukim? Chalat Tzava Ba'ama V'chal Lasiya. One is to give you the commandment, and one ultimately, again, is to point out that it was actually carried through on. V'idach imkein lichtov o gadol gadol o kasha kasha my gadol o my kasha shmami natarti. So both say the second opinion, which seems to be the opinion that the Gemara is siding with, is that davar gadol and davar kasha refer to two different things. Einachinami davar kasha, something that is complicated that cannot be adjudicated or cannot be solved by a lower court, is ultimately kicked up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and also Davar Gadol. Davar Gadol means matters concerning the Gadol, i.e. matters concerning the Kohen Gadol, are automatically adjudicated by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, by the 71-member Beis Din. Right, Rabbi Elazar, so listen to this next Shaila. So Rabbi Elazar asked the following question. Shorosh al-Kohen Gadol. What about the shore of a Kohen Gadol? So we'll say the case over here is the shor of a Kohen Gadol kills someone, right? So Rashi says, "Im hemis ish." Shor of the Kohen Gadol killed someone. So bekama, how many people are needed to judge the shor of a Kohen Gadol? On one hand, we could say, "Lemisas bailim di de midaminale, oldim lemisas bailim da ama midaminale." So we'll say, we already learned the drasha that we learn out that a shor has to be judged by a Beis Din of 23. Why? Because if you remember again, by shor that's executed, the pasuk says v'gam ba'alav yumas. That if my shor kills someone, the pasuk says, and the owner also dies. Now we know that an owner is not put to death if his shor kills someone. So remember how we dashed in that pasuk v'gam ba'alav yumas means that the shor dies in the same manner in which, or through the same process through which the owner would have been executed. The owner could only be executed through a Beis Din of 23, therefore the shor is also only executed by a Beis Din of 23. So on one hand, I will say, do we say that a shor is executed like the way the owner would be? And owner is a generic term, just means a regular person. Or do we say no, that the shor's execution, or the shor's adjudication, mirrors its owner's? So if the owner of a shor is a regular guy, then einachinami, the Beis Din you need for the execution of the shor is 23. But if the shor's owner happens to be the Kohen Gadol, and what do we just get finished? The Kohen Gadol is going to be put to death. Who has to adjudicate this case? Sanhedrin 71. Maybe his shor also needs 71. Incredible kasha. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Abayi midikami bai li shoro michlal d'mamono pshitale." So Abayi said, the fact that we're asking about the Kohen Gadol shor, it seems to indicate to us that if the mamon, if any other property of the Kohen Gadol caused any kind of problems or caused any kind of damage, that it's obvious that all you would need is a Beis Din of 3 to adjudicate that case. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, maldate mahol v'kasav kala davar gadol yikol davar v'shal gadol." So I would have thought, so the Gemara says, yes, that's obvious. If the Kohen Gadol's property causes damage, then inachinami, that's adjudicated by a Beis Din of 3. The only kasha comes up if it's a shor. So the Gemara says, what would I have thought? I would have thought when the pasuk says v'chala davar hagadol, maybe what that means is kol dvarav shal gadol. Anything that deals with the gadol, that deals with the Kohen Gadol, by definition is adjudicated by a Sanhedrin, by the Beis Din of 71. Kamashmalan, that is not the case. Kamashmalan, that at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, the only thing that is adjudicated by the Sanhedrin HaGadol is what? Is matters, capital cases concerning the Kohen Gadol. In every other respect, any other din Torah will ultimately again be adjudicated just like any other person. Ein motzi'in. So we'll remember again, this is really going to get incredible. So in the next part of the Mishnah spoke about the idea that Klal Yisrael cannot go out to war. We only go to Milchames Shalshivim. So remember again, two different wars. Milchames Mitzvah, Milchames Rishus. Milchames Mitzvah is an obligatory war. Milchames Rishus is an optional war. We only go out for an optional war, Milchames Rishus, with the permission of the 71 member Sanhedrin. So it says, where do I know that from? Amri Abi Abo, Damar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'ulifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod. The Pasuk says, and before Elazar HaKohen, he will stand. The rest of the passage is v'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod v'shalom b'mishpat ha'urim v'lifnei Hashem al piv yetzu v'al piv yavo hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara dashes hu zemelech. The who refers to the king. V'chol b'nei Yisrael ito and all b'nei Yisrael with him ze mashuach melchama. This refers to the Kohen Gadol Rav Osei who was anointed for. Remember again, We saw this in our Yuma days, as well as in our Sota days, that there is a Kohen Mashuach Melchama, whose job it was to go out with the army to war, specifically again, in the parashas of Kisetze and Kisavo, when the Torah speaks about the speech that the soldiers used to get before going out to battle, and the exemptions that were listed, that speech was given, that Divrei Soros was given by the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. He was, he was like a Kohen Gadol, but of course did not operate like a full Kohen Gadol. His job, he was like the chief rabbi of the military. That was his responsibility. So he wants v'chola ido zeh Sanhedrin, and the entire congregation. This refers to the Sanhedrin. V'dimul Sanhedrin d'kamar luhu rachman d'lashad b'urim v'tumim. Maybe it's the job of the Sanhedrin to ask the urim v'tumim, not the Kohen Gadol. Elokiyad amrav acha bar bizna amrav shem chasidah. So listen to this. Kinur hayat halui lemalam mitasul shel David. So listen to how beautiful this is. There was a harp. There was a harp that was hanging over the bed of David HaMelech. Kevan shehegiya chatzos halayla, when midnight would come, ruach tzifonis min hashavas bo. So also listen to this. The northern wind would blow through the harp, and it would move the strings. V'haya menagim eilav, and the wind would produce music through the harp. Miyad, also this is David HaMelech's alarm clock. Miyad, haya David omeid va'osik patora. David HaMelech's time for learning, his own time for learning, was from Chatzos until dawn. It's just an incredible, incredible yisod. By the way, you understand the lesson in this. David HaMelech, of course, had no time to learn during the day, right? Because he was the king. As the king, he was had all different kinds of responsibilities. So you see that no matter what your life responsibilities are, a person has to carve out time to learn. A person has to be kovei itim l'Torah. For David HaMelech's case, it means he got less sleep. He got less sleep, but that was his Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. So ultimately, again, midnight came, he got up, he learned until Amud HaShachar. Kevan Sha'al Amud HaShachar Nechnesu Chach Me'Yisrael Etzlo. Bo said, this is amazing. Amud HaShachar, dawn came, and what happened? Already again, office is open. Dawn comes, and David HaMelech is already receiving people. So Bo says, listen to this. The Chach Me'Yisrael came to him. Amru lo Adonino HaMelech. Amcho Yisrael Tzrichin Leparnosa. David HaMelech, Klal Yisrael needs Parnosa. In other words, there's a financial crisis. Amru lohem. Lech v'sparnesu zemizah. So David HaMelech says, I don't understand. Why can't we have a self-supporting economy? In other words, why is it that as a society we can't go ahead and support ourselves? Amar lohen luchu v'sparnesu zemizah. Amar lo en akomets masbia sa'ari. Literally translated, a handful of food is not enough to satisfy the line. Which they're saying that for whatever the reason. There wasn't enough jobs, whatever the state of the economy was, it was impossible to support the needy from the current economy within Klal Yisrael. This is an incredible yisod as well. A pit cannot be filled in from its own dirt. What they are saying to David HaMelech is, at the end of the day, we for whatever the reason, we need additional resources. We can't support ourselves just from within. Amar lahem, so does David HaMelech say, this is amazing. L'chu pashtu yideichem b'gidud. Let's go conquer someone. Right? You know, we'll say, this is going to be our story again in Mirat Hashem Bekarov, right? This is the heyday. This is the golden age. Let's go conquer someone, right? In other words, I want to be clear. What does this mean? What this means is, let's go conquer someone, make them into a vassal state. They'll pay us taxes. We'll be able to take their resources. Of course, we'll take care of them. Remember, there is a benefit to being a vassal state. You get the protection of the strongest of the regional superpower, which in this important time was Klal Yisrael, was Eretz Yisrael. So let's go to war. Miyad. So what happened? Now this would be a Melchames Rishos, an optional war. So Gemara says Miyad Yotzim Achitofel. So they asked Achitofel. Achitofel was the Kohen Gadol. Venim Lachin B'Sanhedrin. They asked the Sanhedrin. The Sholem B'Rum Tzom. So it's actually quite amazing if you think about it, just from a checks and balances perspective, just in terms of what the king has to do in order to take the nation to war. There's multiple levels that he has to go through. He has to go through the Kohen Gadol has to go to the Urim Tumim, and they need permission from the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, my cross. Rav Yosef says, what's the pasuk? Amar Beis Rav Yosef. Amar Beis, V'achariach Yitofel B'nayo Ben Yehoyada. So the pasuk says, I know, it's a long, but it's good. It's going to flow. V'achariach Yitofel B'nayo Ben Yehoyada. I'm getting looks now. V'achariach Yitofel B'nayo Ben Yehoyada. After Achitofel was Benayo ben Yoyada, the Evyosar, the Sart Sava, the Melech Yoav. So the Gemara Darshins, Achitofel ze Yoetz, Achitofel was the advisor, the Chino Omer, the Eitzas Achitofel Shayats, Benayo ben Yoyada, Zu Sanhedrin, Benayo ben Yoyada was the head of the Sanhedrin, Evyosar, Elu Urim Tumim, Evyosar coin was the coin Gadol, and therefore again he represents the Urim Tumim, the Chino Omer, V'chein hu Omer u'benayo ben Yoyada ala kresi v'ala plesi. So how do we know that Benayo ben Yoyada was the Kohen Gadol? Because the positive Benayo ben Yoyada was in charge of the kresi and the plesi. So we'll say, the Gemara understands kresi and plesi refers to the Urim v'tumim. So ask the Gemara, v'lama nikra shman kresi u plesi? Why are the Urim V'Tumim called the Kresi Uplesi? Shekarsan Divrehem. See, excuse me. Kresi, Shekarsan Divrehem. So we'll say they're called Kresi. Why? Because they literally deliver decisive messages. Like karas means to cut. They do not deliver ambiguous messages. The Urim V'Tumim deliver precise messages. Uplesi, from Lashon of Pela, Shemuflo'in Ma'aseyim. They're just absolutely amazing. We'll say, what is the pasuk that makes reference to this entire dynamic? Literally, Ura Kivodi, awaken my honor. Ura Haneva Vikinu Ara Shachar. Through the navel, through ultimately, again, the harp, the lyre, I will awaken the dawn. A reference to the idea that David HaMelech relied on the harp ultimately to wake him up by Chatzos in order that he could awaken the dawn. See, he already learned and was able to start the affairs of the state at dawn. Vemosif in Allah year. I will say, you cannot add on to the city of Yerushalayim without Sanhedrin HaGadol, something we'll remember based in. Min Hani Midr, I will say, where do we know this from? Amar Rav Simeon Bar Chiya, Amar Kra, Kechol Asher Ani Mar'e Oscha, Estav Nis HaMishkan, V'chein Sa'asu L'Doros HaBon. So we'll say, because the pasuk says, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, like everything I have shown you by the Tavnis HaMishkan, by the construction of the Mishkan, this is what you shall do for future generations. So the same way that the dimensions of the Mishkan were consecrated by Moshe Rabbeinu, so too if you want to enlarge the dimensions of Yerushalayim, or of the Harabais for that matter, it requires the blessing and requires the involvement of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Masi Rava, Rava said, Rava raises the kasha, Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe Mishichas HaMikadshon Mikan Ve'elach Avodas HaMechaim Chasan. All of the utensils that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Mishkan, Mishichas HaMikadshon, as soon as they're anointed with oil, so they are fit for service. But after the Dor HaMidbar, Mikan Ve'elach Avodas HaMechaim Chasan, shmearing them with anointing oil does not consecrate them, rather, actually utilizing them in service consecrates them for service. Va'amai, so I don't understand why is that name of V'chein Sasu L'Doros HaBoin. Again, the Pasuk says V'chein Sasu L'Doros, or V'chein Sasu. Maybe what that means is the same way that you're telling me that just like the dimensions of the Mishkan were done by Moshe Rabbeinu, so too the dimensions of Yerushalayim have to be established by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the Torah uses the same Moshe by the Kelim. So I'd say the same way that the Kelim and the Mishkan were only put into service, how? Through the anointing with the oil. So too what? So too for future generations, the Kelim are also only put into effect by the anointing of the oil. Shiny Hasan Namakra Vayim Shechem Vaikadesh Osam. Because the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu anointed them with oil and he sanctified them. Osama Mashicha, V'lo'lodoros V'mashicha. Only those utensils were established ultimately again with shmearing, with the of the oil, but not for future generations. So the Gemara says, V'lo'lodoros V'ema Osama Mashicha. So why don't they say the following? The utensils of the Mishkan were inaugurated for service through anointing with oil. Uladoros ibn Mashicha iba avoda. And for future generations, you have a choice. You could either inaugurate the utensils into service, ultimately again through smearing of oil, or through actual avoda. Amra papa amakra asher yisharsu bam bakodesh. Hakos of plan b'sheris. Torah explicitly says that they become ol kodesh, ultimately again through sherus, through usage. Ela osam lamali. If that's the case, then why don't I need the phrase osam? Ilav osam havamin ladoros b'mashicha b'avoda. I would have not said osam. I would have thought that for future generations, you need both mashicha and avoda. Talk sivachin sasu amrachma kasev rachmana osam osam mashicha v'lo ladoros b'mashicha. So we'll say, so what we come out of here is if you want a larger territorial area of Yerushalayim or of the Harabayis, one requires a Sanhedrin HaGadol. In addition, we walk away with another beautiful fact, which is that in the times of the Mishkan, the Kelim were inaugurated for service through Mashicha, through anointing with oil, but L'Dorei Doros for all future generations, including Emir Ezra Meher Rabbi Amin and the Bayis Shlishi, the utensils will be inaugurated for service, through actual usage. That's how they become inaugurated. Good. Vaitim. Says the Gemara. Ve'ein Osin Sanhedros. So remember again, you can't make smaller Sanhedrins of 23 without the blessing of the largest Sanhedrin. So in other words, the 71 member Sanhedrin has to appoint the 23 member Sanhedrins. Minala, where do we know that? Where do we know that from? The Ashkechan ben Moshe de Uki Sanhedros. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to set up the smaller Sanhedrins. Moshe b'makom shivim v'chad koi. And Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately again was like a one-man, 71-person Sanhedrin. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu set up the smaller Batei Din, so too for future generations, we also need the larger Sanhedrin to set up the smaller Batei Din. So the Gemara says, Moshe, b'makom shivim v'chad koi. Fine, Tanu Rabbanan. We'll say first white line. Tanu Rabbanan. Minayim shema amidin shoftim li'Yisrael. How do we know that we go ahead And we establish shoftim for Klal Yisrael. How do we know that we establish judges? Talmud Lomar, shoftim titain. Pasuk says shoftim, that you should make shoftim for yourself. Shochim li Yisrael min Olam. How do we know that you're obligated to make shochim? Both said shochim are enforcers. People who enforce the psakim of the Beis Din. How do you know that I'm supposed to go ahead and establish them? Talmud Lomar, shoftim titain. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I should say, shochim. Therefore, the Pasuk says, ultimately, shochim titin. You shall go ahead and establish shochim. Shoftim l'chol shevet v'shevet minayin. How do we know that each shevet, every tribe, has to have its own judiciary, has to have its own judicial branch? Talmud Lomar, shoftecha l'shvatecha. Because the Pasuk says, you shall have shoftim for your tribes. Shochim l'chol shevet v'shevet minayin. How do I know that I need shochim, enforcers, officers who will enforce the law for each shevet? Talmud Lomar, shochim l'shvatecha. Because the Pasuk says that you have to have shochim for your shvatim. Shoftim l'chol ir v'ir minayin. How do I know that I need shoftim for each and every city? Talmud Lomar, we're going to define that, by the way. Every city doesn't mean every city. We're going to see there are qualifications. Talmud Lomar, shoftim l'sha'arecha. Pasuk says you'll have shoftim for your gates. Shochim l'chol ir v'ir v'nayin. How do I know that I need shochim ultimately again for every city? For every city. Talmud Lomar, shochim l'sha'arecha. Says you need shochim for your gates. Gates, we'll say, is a reference to the city. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Memuna al Kulan. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is one person ultimately again who is in charge of all of them. I will say, now one doesn't mean one person over here. Rashi says over here, Zusan Hedrin Gidola. As much as we've speaking about that every Shevet needs a court, and a Sanhedrin, a small Sanhedrin, every city needs its own small Sanhedrin, that's fine, but they're all reportable to the mother, they all report to the mothership. And the mothership in this case is what? Is the Sanhedrin HaGodol, the 71 member Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, where do we know that from? Shitshin Emar Titein Lecha. Because the Pasuk says, you shall make for you. Now remember, this is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, commanding him to establish the smaller court systems. Whenever we see Moshe Rabbeinu is like what? He is like the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Titei Lecha means that all the smaller Batei Din operate in the orbit of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. B'Shem Gamal Omer, Lishvatecha V'Shaftu. Pasuk says, for your tribes and you shall judge. Mitzvah B'Shevet Ladun Es Shifto. There is a mitzvah for each Shevet to judge its own tribe. Vein osin irani dachas. Well, so remember again, we saw that you can't make an irani dachas. So remember, the Mishnah said over here, vein osin irani dachas ella al pi bezin shal shim vechas. Well, so remember again, the irani dachas is a city where all of the inhabitants have worshipped Avodah Zarah. That city is condemned to be wiped out. Such a judgment, such a condemnation could only be made by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So says the Gemara, my taima mikir b'cham rachman of, I'm sorry, I skipped. Where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Amar Kra, Votseisa Sa'isha, who always Sa'isha he. Because the Pasuk says, by Avodah Zarah, you will take out this man, you will take out this woman to be executed. Ish vi isha tamotu de sharecha. It's a man or a woman, meaning singular individuals, who you take out to the gates of the city, i.e., who could be judged by the local Beis Din. Viatamotzi kol ha'ir kulu de sharecha. But an entire city cannot be judged by the local Beis Din. The entire city has to be judged by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Ein osin ir hanidachos basafar. So remember again, we'll say next. The Mishnah said, you cannot condemn a border city as an ir hanidachos. So if you have a border city, then ultimately, again, Kishmo Kinu, it's a border city. You cannot condemn it as an Irani Dachos. My time, what's the reason? Mikir b'cham rachman avalom en asafar. Because the Pasuk says, the Lashon of the Pasuk by Irani Dachos is, Mikir b'cha. The Lashon is, I'll read you the Pasuk, Yatsu anosha b'nei b'li'al mikir b'cha. The Pasuk says, mikir b'cha ultimately means what? From within you. So the Gemara understands that the Irani Dachos has to be a city that is within, not a city that's on the border. We'll say on a more strategic level, you understand also this goes back, interestingly enough, you know, the halacha is that if you go ahead and you sell a home in Eretz Yisrael, so remember again, you have a certain amount of time in which you're permitted to go ahead and buy it back. The exception to that rule is property sales, ultimately again in walled cities. So property sales in walled cities are virtually final. The reason that I will say is because the border cities are strategic strongholds. You don't want turnover in border cities. So also again, the Marshal brings down this idea that although the drush is mikir b'cha, if you want to darshan the time of the crow over here, is to have a border city condemned as an irani dachas means what? Imagine you wipe out an entire border city, you've created a national vulnerability on that side of the border. So the Gemara goes weiter. Velo shalosh ir hanidachas. Remember again, you cannot condemn three cities, meaning you can't make three ir hanidachas. Dachases. Right? Ari hanidachas. Dichsiv, achos. Because the Pasuk says, we'll say the Lashon of the Pasuk is, achos, Kisishma ba'achas arecha. When you will hear in one of your cities. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv achas, aval osin achas, oshtayim. So you can make one ir anidachas. You could also make two anidachas. Dichsiv arecha. Because they both say the Torah used lashon of arecha, which is what? Which is plural. The basic definition of plural is two. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, achos. So the Pasuk says, achos, one city. Achos velo shalosh, it means one and not three. Ata omer achos velo shalosh. O eno elo, achos velo shtayim. So it sounds like the Hazar of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Achos v'achos, achos v'shtayim. It's almost Elul. So says the Gemara, Achos tells me that I can't what? That ultimately, again, I can have one ir anidachos, and I can't have three. But I can have two. So the Gemara says, maybe I would have thought v'lo shtayim, k'shu omer arecha, harei shtayim. So we'll say, essentially we have two words. On one hand, the Pasuk says, Achos, right, one of your cities, but use lashon of arecha, which is plural. So how do I balance that? That teaches me I can have one or two arei nidachos, but I cannot have three arei nidachos. So the Gemara says, Harshayim amar hamani makayim achos, achos velo shalosh. Ultimately, again, so why does the Pasuk say achos? Achos comes to teach me one, but not three. Zinin amar Rav, so we'll say, sometimes Rav used to say the following, Zinin amar Rav, beis din echad hu de'ein osin. It's only one beis din who cannot condemn multiple arei nidachos. Habishnayim ushlosha batei dinin. Ultimately, again, but if you have two or three different batei din, osin, the Rabbos say, meaning the cap on two arei nidachos is only what? Per beis din. But if you have multiple beis dins, ultimately each of them could condemn up to two. You can have multiple arei nidachos. Vezin amar Rav afilu bishnayim ushlosha batei din. Other times, Rav used to say, no, even with two or three different batei din, li'olam ein osin. You can't make more than two arei nidachos in Eretz Yisrael. My time is the Rav. So what's Rav's reason? Rav will say, why would there be a cap? In other words, I understand when you tell me that there's, let's say, a two ear nidachos limit per beis din. Got it. But why would there be a cap altogether? In other words, why would we say that once one beis din is established, two cities, the ear nidachos, that's it. You cannot condemn any more cities. To which Rav would say, Mishum Karcha. Rav will say, Karcha literally means what? A bald spot. The idea is that if you have multiple cities in Eretz Yisrael that are being wiped out because the inhabitants are worshipping Avodah Zarah, Eretz Yisrael is not that big. If you're wiping out more than two cities, you're going to create desolation within the land. We'll say, so that's a problem ultimately with covered Eretz Yisrael. You know, Eretz Yisrael, the land itself, needs to be respected. The land itself needs to be looked up to. So it's not right for Eretz Yisrael, ultimately, again, that it should have these bald spots of inhabitants. This is only true, by the way, that there's a two Arei Nidachos limit if the two are being condemned and they're in the same region. But if the Arei Nidachos happen to be spread out throughout the land, then you could even go ahead and condemn three cities as Arei Nidachos. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein osin mishum karcha. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even if the cities are spread out, there is a two ir nidachos maximum. You cannot condemn more than two cities. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. That's for Rabbi Yochanan. Ein osin shalosh ayaros minudachos beretz Yisrael. You cannot make three ayaros minudachos in Eretz Yisrael. Aval osin osam shtayim. But you can condemn two. But as long as what? As long as one is in Yehuda, one is in Galil. In other words, that they're in separate regions. But ultimately, again, if both of the condemned cities are both in the same region, both in Yehuda, both in Galil, then you can't do it. So the Gemara says, Usmucha l'sapar, and if the condemned city ultimately, again, is next to the border, afilu achos ein osin. Then Rabbos say again, as we said before, when it comes to a border city, you cannot declare it as an ir nidachos. My time, what's the reason? Shema yishmu nochrim v'yachrivu es eretz Yisrael. So amazing. Because what will happen if there's a vulnerability that is exposed, then what will happen? The Nachrim, the Gentile surrounding nations will come, will take advantage. The Chas v'shalom, Chas v'shalom, destroy Eretz Yisrael. V'seifuklei, demekir b'cha amarachmana, v'lo minas sapar. And ultimately, Siddiq Mar says, I'm sorry. I don't understand, why do I need this reason? In other words, the Gemara is giving me a reason as to why I can't declare a border city an Irani Dachos. So Gemara says, because maybe you're going to create the vulnerability, the hostile Gentile neighbor is going to hear about the vulnerability, they're going to attack and destroy Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, I don't understand, why do you have to get into that? It's a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Mikir b'cha, that the Irani Dachos has to come from within the midst of Eretz Yisrael, not on the border. So why do I need this reason? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon he did darish time dikra. Because ultimately, again, the reason reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, because also Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that darshin time dikra means that when it comes to psukim, although again, our observance of the mitzvot is not motivated because we understand or comprehend the rational reasons, but at the end of the day, Rabbi Shimon says that we do look for time dikra. So if you subscribe to the approach of darshin time dikra, that we look for reasons for mitzvot, then in achinami, although we have the pasuk, but the logic ultimately why you can't declare a border city Irani Dachos is because it creates a vulnerability and therefore a national security risk for Klal Yisrael. I just want to say that it's so inspiring to see such a robust olam immediately after Tisha B'Av. It's a long day, and it's mamish, it's a grueling day, it's an emotionally trying day, it's an emotionally overwhelming day. And what's incredibly beautiful is that this year, what you see here tonight, is mamish hakiyum, lo rav la lechem velo tzama la mayim, kiyum lishmo as divrei Hashem. That the truth is, none of us were hungry for bread, and none of us were hungry for water, at least after we ate, right? But rather, right, kiyum lishmo as divrei Hashem. The truth is, to go a day without a vlat gemara, to go a day without my beloved Sanhedrin, to go a day without daf pes zayin, that was the torture. That was the difficult part of the tainus. V'harayo, that immediately after we get a little bit in order to be able to sustain our guf, right back here in the basement, just right back here in front of our gemara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just see how much we love His Torah. That one day of being apart from it, who can wait till next morning? Who can wait? You can't even sleep tonight. It's going to be difficult to fall asleep, because I want to tell you something. Daf Yud Zayin, Mamish Me'ein Olam Haba. I don't want to ruin it for you. But it's Me'ein Olam Haba. But Halavayim L'Zuchus of Amasiras Nefesh, for coming out after a long day, for in the Zuchus of Lo Rav L'Lechem V'Lo Tzomalai Kim L'Shmoz Tirei Hashem, Halavayim we should be Zocher, that by the time we wake up tomorrow morning, should be Zocher Mir Tzashem, that the Melech HaMashiach will give Daf Yud Zayin. Melech HaMashiach will close out the first Perek of Sanhedrin, and Halavayim we should be Zocher to the Geula Shlema V'Asidim Hira B'Yamim.
On behalf of everybody, I believe I'm speaking.